Well, Father, we thank you that you have not left us in this world without a direction to follow, both written word, the Logos, and the leading of the Holy Spirit, the Rhema. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being our teacher today as we look into these scriptures and learn the things that we need to know so we can live the lives that are most pleasing to you, and recognizing that leading a life that's pleasing to you is also leading a life that's pleasing to us, who love you, who want to please you, but also want to live the way that we are made to live and use these bodies the way you designed them to be used. We thank you, we praise you for that. Glory to your holy name, Jesus, amen. Okay, Revelation, chapter 4, the book of Revelation, chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, the end of the book. Towards the end of the book, the Revelation. I always hear people saying Revelations. It's not Revelations, it's the book of Revelation. It's the revelation of St. John the Apostle. And it's filled with revelations, yes, but it is the book of Revelation, which is also in the Greek known as the Apocalyptus, which most people think, you see, you can't understand it because it's an apocalypse. And you know, that means some kind of weird stuff. No, the Apocalyptos actually in Greek means the clearing up. Isn't that interesting? The clearing up.
So Apocrypha would... Is that of the same root word, or is it just close? No, so Apocrypha would mean something else.
Yeah. Okay, we have 11 verses there. Four of us to read today. How many verses shall we each read? Cameron, do you know? 11 verses. And how many of us? There are four of us. So how many verses should each of us read? What's 4 times 3?
12.
Okay. So, if there are four of us, and there are only 11 verses, and 4 times 3 is 12.
One person... One, two people read.
It was like 3, 3, 3, 2.
Yeah, 3, 3, 3.
Very good. All right. Well, who wants to start? Sean, go right ahead.
After this, I look.
Whoa! You know what to do.
I am reading from the New International Version, Revelations 4. Revelations chapter 4, verses 1 through 3.
Okay.
After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had an appearance of jasper and ruby, a rainbow that shone like an emerald encircled his throne. This right from the New International Version, Revelations 4, verses 1 through 3.
Okay.
From the English Standard Version, Revelation chapter 4, verse 4, 5, and 6. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and rumblings, and peals of thunder, and before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass, like crystal, and around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. It's from the English Standard Version, Revelation chapter 4, verses 4, 5, and 6.
I I'm reading from the English Standard Version, Revelation chapter 4, verses 7 through 9. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature like with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within, and day and night they never cease say, "Holy, holy, holy is Lord the God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who's seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders all fall down before him who's seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne." I read.
You might as well finish it out, bud.
Go ahead.
"Before the throne, saying,
verse 11.
"Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you create all things, and by your will they existed and were created." I just read from the English Standard Version, verses 9 through 11.
Actually, 7 through 11.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, 7 through 11.
And what chapter?
Revelation.
No, Revelation. Chapter what?
Oh, Revelation chapter 4.
Correct. Good. Well, here we are, the final Sunday of Advent. Went by so quickly. Opportunity today, as we have three generations of males reading scripture, and to a certain degree, as many people are saying, "Boy, am I glad Christmas is over. Am I glad that, you know, this isn't going on," and so forth, which always disturbs me, because I say, "Well, why do you let it be like something that you have a hangover from?" And I'm not talking about just because of people drinking liquor or whatever else, but I mean, sometimes obviously people overeat and eat things they don't usually eat, and then they have certain illnesses and side effects, and more people seem to die at Christmas, and more people are depressed at Christmas, and so forth and so on. Because one of the things that's sadly lacking, I think, is really what's mentioned here in this chapter of Scripture. If you look at verse 2, and reading from the Geneva translation of Revelation 4, verse 2, it says, "And immediately I was ravished in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat upon the throne." I was ravished in the Spirit. Now, that's interesting. That word doesn't usually show up in that kind of a context. Very much, I was ravished in the Spirit. So it's basically, in a sense, sort of the manner of the revelation that John the Apostle was receiving there. Description of God the Father and His glory in the heavens, and framed into unto the manner of men, by His office, His nature, His company, attending, effect, instruments, and events that follow afterwards. In the verse, He's presented in office as a judge, as Abraham said in Genesis 18, which is declared by his throne as a design of judgment and his sitting thereon. Well, I know that was a long thing to say, but in the presence of the Lord, we should find delight. You know, we sang those Christmas carols, and a lot of that talks about that. And so I'd like to suggest for us to be thinking about this in our lives. Delight in a life of praise. How many people were even really very thankful for all the gifts they got? You know, I mean, I know that it helps our economy and whatever else, and people are buying wrapping paper and boxes, and they're buying ribbon, and they're buying gifts, and whatever, and that helps the economy. But, you know, I don't see a whole lot of thankfulness from people in that, instead of thinking, you know, look what the Lord has poured out on us. Because many people do not live a life of praise. And so, if we look at, for example, the last part of the chapter, in verse 8, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. We may be celebrating the birth of Jesus and talking about baby Jesus, but who are we talking about here? We're talking about Jesus. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and which is to come. We have the opportunity to be in His presence. And so we should delight in a life of praise. We should live a life of praise. I learned many, many, many years ago, it's 40 years ago, answering my telephone, praise the Lord. Freaks a lot of people out, but I live a life of praise, and the Lord has used that. Praise is, Scripture says, praise is comely, if you look in the King James translation, it means praise is beautiful in the sight of the Lord. We are our best looking when we are praising the Lord. When we live a life of praise, that's a protection, if you will. That's like a shield, it's like an armor that protects us from a lot of things. If you live a life of praising the Lord, it's like saying, okay, how many people can walk and chew gum at the same time? So I guess you'd have to ask yourself the question, okay, which do I want to do, walk or chew gum? Because if I can't do both at the same time, I'm going to have to pick one or the other. Well, to a certain degree, a delighting in the life of praise is while you're praising the Lord and delighting in praising the Lord. Gee, it's wonderful to praise the Lord. And God inhabits the praise of His people. So I just think about through the Christmas, Advent season and whatever else, they call the holidays, and we like to remind them that that means holy days. How many people were praising the Lord? I mean, even when they get their gifts, do they think they praise the person that bought the gift for them? Well, you have to give thanks to people that have done things, but at the same time, praising the Lord that there's something to have, praising the Lord that there are gifts to have, praising the Lord that, you know, that people want to give, and so forth and so on. And so I think that we need to really consider what a life of praise is like and delighting in a life of praise. So many people, oh, we got to worship, we're gonna praise, we got to read the Bible. I mean, gee, you make it like a funeral dearth, you make it like it is a pain. No, it shouldn't be a pain. It's a delight, it's a pleasure. It's a strengthening. That's like saying, gee, I was sick and then I became healthy. I mean, do you delight in sickness? How many people want sickness? I don't. I want to be healthy. I want to be strong. I want to delight in that. And we're our strongest when we delight in a life of praise. Now, I want us to look at some other aspects of how a life of praise has great meaning and great protection. If you look at Psalm 124. Psalm chapter 124, I'm reading from the Geneva Bible, verse 1. If the Lord had not been on our side, may Israel now say, this is Psalm 124, beginning verse 1. If the Lord had not been on our side, may Israel now say, if the Lord had not been on our side, when men rose up against us. They had then swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. Then the waters had drowned us, and the stream had gone over our soul. Then had the swelling waters gone over our soul. Praised be the Lord, which hath not given us as prey unto their teeth. Our soul is escaped, even as a bird out of the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we are delivered. Our help is in the name of the Lord, which has made heaven and earth. Is our help in the gifts that we were given, and hopefully many of the gifts that we were given for Christmas are useful to us in our lives, but is our hope in those gifts? Scripture points out here that delighting in the life of praise, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope is in the name of the Lord. And if it hadn't been for that, and of course in verse 6 where it says, praised be the Lord, which hath not given us as a prey unto their teeth. Has it occurred to us today to remember that delighting in a life of praise is a great protection for us? And that many of the things that could happen to us are not going to happen to us because we're praising Him. And we delight to praise. It's not like a burden to us. And it just kind of bothered me thinking about through the Advent season how little I heard people praising the Lord.
Folks feel that Merry Christmas is enough to say, and that's it. You demonstrated your faith by saying Merry Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I believe a lot of people think that.
They probably do. And that's better than nothing, and that helps.
Right.
But at the same time, to really give thought to it. You know, for me, this was a very different type of Christmas time than I've had in the past for a variety of reasons. And I have to be honest and say, I mean, it's sort of a confession, the Lord knows, on Christmas morning, for a couple of reasons, I wasn't as upbeat about it as I might have been. And I asked the Lord to forgive me, and I just started to sing songs by myself and praise Him, and then, of course, going off and spending time as I did with loved ones, it ended up turning out to be one of the best Christmases. In a way that was, because it was totally different than any Christmas that I've ever experienced like that. And it started off that day with me saying, Lord, I forgive me. I mean, I'm kind of bummed, you know, right now, whatever. But then the Holy Spirit reminding me, you live a life of praise. You delight in the life of praise. And I'll start doing that and everything will be fine. And I did. And it was a fun and wonderful day. So, when we think about the disciplines of our life as Christians, you know, and the question that you asked, Rich, earlier about people being convinced, and all that scientific stuff is not what really is going to turn people around. It's when they see that we delight in a life of praise, they have to ask themselves, well, is this guy crazy? He's delighting in a life of praising someone who doesn't exist, who's just a fable, who's just made up. Or is this guy on to something? Is he caught on to something? These people that go praising the Lord. And of course, when we look back in history, okay, you want to write me off. You want to think I'm a bozo. You want to think I don't know what I'm doing. But what about the other 50 billion people in the history of the world that were willing to risk their lives and everything else to live a life delighting and praising the Lord? Were they also bozos too? Well, because that means the person that's criticizing, the person that's questioning, is making the statement, I know more than all of you. And really, you don't need a God, you've got me. I'm your God. And of course, is this new? It's one of the reasons why the Lord said that we would have no other gods but Him. In the Ten Commandments, and they said, don't make any graven image, because people were already doing that. They were moving away from delighting in the presence of the Lord. And here's a protection that the Lord has provided for us. And I think about this too. How many times things could have happened to me? How many enemies could have devoured me? But the Lord helped me. And I want to look at another passage of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, a few verses there also that are very commendable concerning the idea of a delighting in a life of praise. And of course, remember, when we hear the word of God, whether, you know, and I'm not necessarily saying from me preaching it or whoever's preaching it, but we read the word of God and the challenge that the Holy Spirit gives us, do we want to meet the challenge? Do we want to step up to the plate? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power might be of God and not of us. How important that is. You know, as I've often said, when I get up in the morning and I say, "Good morning, Lord, you're God and I am not." Tremendous revelation. When you delight in the life of praise, you recognize you're not, you know, you're going to be praising yourself. Praising yourself is not a good idea. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power might be of God and not of us. We are afflicted on every side, yet we are not in distress. We are in doubt, but yet not, we despair not. We are persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, but we perish not. You see, delighting in a life of praise means that you can make a statement like this: I'm afflicted on every side, but I'm not in distress. I've got doubts, but I don't despair. I'm being persecuted, but the Lord hasn't forsaken me. I've been cast down, but I haven't perished. Think about that. It's like saying, okay, a guy tells me, I'm good enough to be a Golden Gloves boxing champion. Yeah, how many bouts have you fought? I haven't fought any, I just know I can be. Is it? Well, let's see. Faith without works is dead, and of course, Jesus said, know them by the fruit they bear. And so for us, we're not going to pass through this fallen world without challenges. We're not going to pass through this fallen world without having things that taint us, and we have doubts, we have our moments and whatever else. Yet what does the Lord say when you praise Him and you delight in life of praise? That those things will not stop you. Those things won't take you down. I so much like in Scripture when you have the conditional situation, if, you know, if I'm afflicted on every side, yet I'm not, then I'm not in distress. If I'm in doubt, then I don't despair. If I'm persecuted, then I'm not forsaken. Isn't that an interesting way to read it? If I'm persecuted, then I'm not forsaken.
Right.
See the if and then statement? If I'm afflicted on every side, then I'm not in distress. If I'm in doubt, then I'm not in despair. And we hold these what? Treasures in earthen vessels. We have the opportunity to delight in the life of praise. That is a treasure being held in an earthen vessel. Thank you, Lord. And so the many people right now, Lord, that may be suffering a Christmas season hangover, and I don't mean just because they drank alcohol or whatever, it's in all manner of things, but they have not delighted in a life of praise, which is like putting on a garment, a bright and shining protective armor and a garment. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us with that. Amen and amen, Jesus. Glory.
Are there any